Nehemiah chapter 1. We begin today the study of the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is a personal testimony written by Nehemiah of how God moved his heart when he saw the great affliction and reproach suffered by his own people, the Jews, which were in Jerusalem, and how he courageously stepped forward to help his fellow Jews back home while he was living in the comforts in the palace of Shushan as the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He was a very special man, a man whom God has endowed to be in high places. He was cupbearer to Artaxerxes the First. This man was the son of Ahasuerus. Who is that? He was the man who took Esther as his queen. And it was during those times, right, that Nehemiah lived, and Artaxerxes was the one who would later give him the authority to come back to help build the walls of Jerusalem. And it was also at this time that Ezra had led the group of Jews back to Jerusalem, and which we saw last week, and how he had to speak to the people of God who transgressed the laws of God when they took foreign wives. We saw last week how this intermarriage would threaten to overthrow Israel all over again. And so that was where we left off last week. And one of the byproducts of revival that was under Ezra is the efforts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You see, he was a man of God, and he encouraged the people of God to do the will of God. And one of the byproducts of it was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And this was met with great opposition. We saw this in Ezra chapter 4, how there was this man called Rehum and Shimshai who wrote to Artaxerxes to threaten that the work be stopped. And indeed, Artaxerxes gave the decree, so the temple work was stopped. And Rehum and Shimshai, when he received this decree, he went back to Jerusalem, and he made by force the people to stop the building of the temple and the wall. And it was also that time that we observe that they went a little bit further. They burned the gates of Jerusalem. And so it was at that point in time, which we saw in Ezra chapter 4, that brings us to Nehemiah chapter 1, where he heard the news. You know, in his time, there is not the internet. You know, he doesn't receive a Yahoo news update 2 times a day. News comes through long distance travelers, you know, and it came through this man called Hanani, one of his brethren, who brought news to him concerning the disaster that was at Jerusalem. And this we saw in our text in verse 2, right, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came and I asked him what happened to the Jews there. And he said in verse 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates are burned
with fire. And so this was where it brought Nehemiah before God on his knees to seek a way for his people. Have you had situations before whereby the people you know that are close to your heart, whom you cared for, and they got into some trouble? What do you do? Well, for Nehemiah, he went on his knees to pray. I remember there was a schoolmate in the Bible college who shared with me how her son was studying in the junior college, and they were having this mooncake festival, and he was putting up the mooncake festival decorations, you know, on the second floor of the college in the Bukit Timah Road there, and he fell from it. And so it was very serious, and she was the one who received a phone call from the school informing her that the son has fallen from the second floor. And so it was a shocking news, just like when Nehemiah received this news of the broken wall. These are people whom he cared for, whom he felt for. And when bad news came, what do you do? Well, there was nobody in the house. Husband was away. The daughter was away also, not around, no one near her. And when she received that news, it was so shocking to her. She didn't know what to do. And then she told me that she fell on her knees and she prayed and she cried out to God. And that was what Nehemiah did. The name Nehemiah means Jehovah comforts. It describes the comfort that comes when God's people would go to him and receive strength and help in times of need. And Nehemiah was among the men of Israel whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, carried away to Babylon. And so he was one of those who have experienced the desolations of being a prisoner of war. But God caused him to rise to a man of great status and wealth. You know, the cupbearer is a very important person. He's even more important than the commander-in-chief, because he's always with the king. And he was able to influence the king by his proximity. And you know, he would have to check the drink before the king would partake it. He would have to make sure that, you know, it is safe. And so it is a very responsible work that he was doing. Anything happens to the king, well, he's liable. So this was Nehemiah, and this was the work that he was doing when he heard the news of Israel's trouble in Jerusalem. This book of Nehemiah covers 20 years, from the period of December 446 BC to about 425 BC. And it is a personal testimony. You know, we just had this, had a baptism and a reaffirmation of faith, and the various members transferring their membership. And you see each one of them writing a personal testimony, a personal record of the working of God in their lives. Right? Nehemiah wrote this as a personal record. It's like a personal memoir, right? A personal eyewitness account. And you can see this in how he used the first person throughout this book. In verse 1, you see he says that I was in Shushan the palace, and you know, verse 2 he says, I asked them concerning the Jews. And in verse 4, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned, and so on. And you know, throughout the first 6 chapters, you see this happening. Then from chapter 7 to chapter 11, you'll find him speaking in the third person. Why do we speak in a third person? Well, we are describing an account. We are giving, describing something that is happening, right? Like a commentator, like a reporter. And this was in from 7 to 11. Then from verse chapter 12, again, we see him writing in the first person. Right? And he concluded in chapter 13, verse 6, that he was the writer. He says, but in all this time, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained leave of the king. So Nehemiah was there for a time. He returned to the palace, and he again found leave to go to Jerusalem, and so he came. And what was his work? His task was to physically help the Jews in Jerusalem to build the walls of Jerusalem. They were in utter desolation. And he would be working together with Ezra, whom we have studied, the scribe, to help build the spiritual lives of the people. So this study will begin with the historical background, which we have given you, of Nehemiah, followed by the three traits of a courageous Christian. Now, we have entitled this series of messages Traits of a Courageous Christian. How do you live a Christian life in difficult times? How do you continue to stand as a Christian in the face of difficulties in the Christian life? And we are going to speak about three things that pertaining to what we can see in Nehemiah's life. How he was a courageous Christian. First, is that he is a man of prayer. The courageous Christian is a man of prayer. And secondly, the courageous Christian know and do the word of God. So he was not only a man of prayer, but he was also a man of the word. Thirdly, the courageous Christian is a man of action. He prayed, he sought God, but he did not just stop at prayer. When God revealed his will to him, he was up and about doing the will of God to the blessing of himself and the people around him. So you see these three traits of Nehemiah that helped him respond in a God-honoring way to different situations that come in his life. And it's very applicable for us as Christians, because we too want to live a successful Christian life, to walk with God and to receive his blessing. And so the first thing that we want to think about from chapter 1 is this, that he was a man of prayer. The book of Nehemiah records 7 accounts of Nehemiah's prayer life that well describe how he was a courageous Christian. He was a man of prayer. Nehemiah sought God's help to accomplish the task at hand. Have you been asked this question? How is your prayer life since you become a Christian? Right? Do you have regular time of prayer, morning, noon and night? Or do you pray haphazardly? The Apostle Paul says we are to pray unceasingly. Is that something that you do throughout the day? Everything that you know, every encounter that you have through the day, you commit them to prayer. Every speech before you utter, you know, you have a realization that you don't have the wisdom and you need help from God, and you call upon him silently in your heart. And this is Nehemiah. And here, when we study Nehemiah, we'll be able to understand his theology of prayer, how he approached the subject of prayer in his life. And you see from all these passages which I've listed for you in your notes, seven aspects, right? Prayer in times of distress, chapter 1, prayer for wisdom, chapter 2, prayer for deliverance from trouble, chapter 4, prayer from to overcome anger, chapter 4, prayer of conviction, prayer against craftiness, against deceit, chapter 6, prayer for remembrance, chapter 13. And you would notice that there are several words which are used by Nehemiah to describe this act of approaching God, prayer. And the word there simply means to pray oneself, meaning that you are the one to pray. It is a personal thing between you and God. And it's a very interesting, it is very interesting to note that the word for prayer is of course a verb, you know? But in its noun form, it is that same word that is used in Nehemiah 3:25 to describe a wall builder. Nehemiah was broken hearted for the walls, for the broken walls of Jerusalem. And the act of prayer is the act of relying on God to do the building. And that is something very special. It is no accident that the Hebrew writer used the word, that the word prayer comes from the root word, right, to build a wall. It is an important task, right? A wall has is symbolic of protection. War is symbolic of preservation, of separation. And in this case, the walls of Jerusalem spoke of the glory of God, because it was the city of God. The walls of Jerusalem guarded that city. And when the wall was broken, what does it mean? It means that the enemy can come at will to spoil the city. And so it is a distressing time. The book of Psalms in 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it." That was what Nehemiah was doing when he fell on his knees, when he heard the cry of the people in Jerusalem, that he sought the Lord in prayer. He communicated with his God concerning the plight of his people. And you would notice how Nehemiah sought the Lord. You can see his prayer posture, right? That it was a humbling posture. He said, in no uncertain terms, how he felt so helpless in the sight of God. Verse 4 says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." You notice the conjunction and repeating itself, well, it is used deliberately by the writer in order to slow us down, in order to help us to see the deliberateness of the action that was taking place, right? Verse 4 says, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. You see how he prepared himself to approach God? It was not haphazardly, but he approached God with a contrite heart. He humbled himself before God. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So Nehemiah mourned for his sins, mourned for the sins of his people. He pleaded and he interceded for mercy. You notice that the battle of life is not won until it is won on our knees. And that Nehemiah accomplished when he sought the Lord for his favor, for his will, for his endorsement, for his approval concerning what to do. Right, so that lady I was sharing with you fell on her knees and she prayed and she sought God. Well, God preserved the son. He did not, there was no fracture or anything, although he fell down second floor, you know, very serious, very high. And she attributed it to the power of God, and that we have a God in heaven who knows all things and who is able to help us. Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so this record of Nehemiah's prayer was his, you may say, you know, his diary, where he described what took place in his life during this time of need. And you'd also see how he prayed to God. The word in Hebrew for prayer comes from the verb to kneel, and to kneel intensively is the verb, or is the word for blessing, right? Barak. When we seek God intensively, that's when we receive the blessing of God. And so Nehemiah, he was a man who was instrumental, you know, to cause the wall of Jerusalem to be built again. And he was a man of prayer. And you see how he fasted, right? Fasting is a private matter between him and God, in secret, with the right motive, in order to plead for his people. And fasting is also an expression of repentance, that we need God, that we are sinners, we know our position in the sight of a holy God. And so Nehemiah prayed earnestly. Verse 4 says he wept and mourned certain days and fasted. You see, there's a sense of humbleness that is described in Nehemiah's prayer. And you would also notice that he was not the only one who prayed. There were others with him, just like what we are doing here in a prayer meeting. We gather together in order to seek God and His will, that God may provide us a way forward. And you know, our prayer list is not getting shorter but longer, right? And we want to ask God that He would help us. That's why we are here. And so the first thing that we notice is this, that he was a man of prayer. And as he waited upon the Lord, the Lord led him, the Lord helped him, right? The period of waiting in prayer for Nehemiah was about 4 months. Remember, we were waiting in prayer last year in October, September, October time, when we gave the letter for the registration of the church. We spent 4 months to pray before God gave the confirmation. Nehemiah was in that state. He prayed for 4 months before the king would give him the mandate, right, to go back to Jerusalem. So that's the first thing. He was a man of prayer. The courageous Christian is a man of prayer. Secondly, the courageous Christian is a man of the word. Nehemiah is a man who knew the scriptures well. And this trait can be observed by the way Nehemiah prayed. He called to God in and a way of understanding. He knew who God is, the God of heaven. That's how he addressed his God. He is the one who is the creator, the ruler, and the Lord of all. And he is also the one that is sustaining all things. That's what he said in verse 5. The great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that loved him and observe his commandments. Nehemiah knew very well the word of God. He would have a copy of the Torah, the scriptures, you know, when they were exiled, just like Daniel. And he understood the will of God, that God would show mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. And so he was giving heed to the will of God, pleading for the people of God. He was a, you may say, a God-fearer. He knew God not only as a God of love, but he is also a great and terrible God. He's a judge. That when we sin against him, our sins will find us out. We can't escape the searching eyes of God. And therefore, he knew his position before God. And he comes before God with fear and with trembling. He knew that God, you know, can, by his power, take away all things from us. This breath that we have is from him. And in that moment, he can take it away from us. There is not too many things that we can be that proud of, right, that we have or we possess. But life can be taken away or given to us just as who God is. And so Nehemiah, if you were to study his prayer, you'd notice that he confessed first of his sins and the sins of his people. And it is a right thing to do. He began by acknowledging who God is, and then he began by examining his own life. And he saw where they have fallen short and he began to pray and he began to seek God for his forgiveness. And you notice that he knew the will of God. He knew that God meant for them to be only in captivity for 70 years. And at that time that they were writing, 91 years has passed. God has said that they will only be kept in captivity for 70 years and God would restore them. But wait a minute, he said to the Lord, it's 21 years since you have promised that we will be restored. Why is it that things are not happening? You have made your promise. You are God. And so he held God for what he has promised. And so the man of God who understands the mind of God is able to pray to God in an intelligent and a wise way to seek the will of God. And so if you think about true prayer, God always answers our prayer. Why? Because the man of God who understood the will of God. And you notice how he pleaded with God. He pleaded with God for mercy. Why? Because Israel do not deserve. They have sinned through and through. We've just seen in Ezra chapter 10 how, you know, they have been chastised by God so severely that the entire temple was razed to the ground for their sin of idolatry, and yet, you know, they went back to this sin of intermarriage that would lead to idolatry. Nehemiah knew the will of God, and so he pleaded to God that it shouldn't be the case that the walls of Jerusalem be in that state. Right? For us here in the local church, God has promised that He, through His Son Jesus Christ, will build a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But when we face difficulties and we are not moving forward, we plead for the enabling of God, for the power of God to go with us. And that was what Nehemiah did. He knew the will of God, that he would prosper his church, that his people would again overcome and triumph in his name. We learn a good lesson for us today from the life of Nehemiah. The courageous Christian must know the Bible well in order to be of help, whether he's in the local church or whether he's with Christian friends. Not knowing the will of God, the Bible, is like the blind leading the blind. They would fall into a ditch. So this courage that the Christian has in living his Christian life, it's not in rash actions, not based on gut feeling or his own wisdom or his own assessment or understanding of the situation, but it's in the light of the Word of God. Otherwise, the Christian is to not say anything, right, rather than to give a wrong advice that might ruin the other person that we are trying to help. So Nehemiah had the opportunity to plead before God to make a right way for his people. And that is what we are doing every Wednesday night at prayer. Before there is any progress, in any endeavor that the church seek to do, it must first receive the approval of God. And this is done through intercessory prayer. And the knowledge of the Word of God enabled Nehemiah to plead correctly. He pleaded for God's mercy. And indeed, God did show mercy, as you will see from chapter 2 onwards. The courageous Christian is a man of prayer. The courageous Christian is a man of the Word. And next week we shall see how he is also a man of action. May the Lord help us to be a courageous Christian in our time. Are there certain walls that are broken in the lives of the people around you that you can observe? Whether it's a broken family, a broken relationship, a broken life, perhaps physically speaking, how do you help? Perhaps because of sickness. Well, may the Lord help us to live as what He would want us to live in these last days, before Jesus Christ would come. We are living in the last of the last days, before the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is the only prophecy, or that is the prophecy of God, the greatest one that is yet unfulfilled. And yet the Bible tells us that throughout the newspaper we are seeing all the signs that Jesus is coming again. And so we are living in that kind of time. Are you ready? How are you living during these momentous, perilous times, these troublous times? Nehemiah lived as a man of God. He was a man of prayer, and he was a man of the Word. May the Lord cause such men to arise in our midst for His own glory. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for this night of prayer. Thank Thee for enabling us to begin the study of the book of Nehemiah. O God, may Thou grant to us Thy blessing as we look to Thee in prayer. Lord, may Thou strengthen our hearts and keep us strong in Thee. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.